Well, it is good to be here tonight and be back again to church, and appreciate the Lord letting us come. Enjoyed the singing, and as it's already been stated, we're only here tonight because of the grace of God. If God never done anything more for us than saving us, that's enough to shout all the way to heaven. Think of where He found. I don't know where He found you. Some of us He found in different conditions. We're all lost, but in different situations. Maybe I was deeply in sin, and God brought me out and saved me, and I'm thanking for that today, and I'm thanking for it forever, for the mercy that He showed on my life when He saved us. So it's good to be here tonight. Trust the Lord to help us this week. I've been trying to pray that God would stir my heart and stir your heart and do something for us. I didn't come to try to entertain you, and I know you don't want to be entertained. I come to try to be a blessing from the Word of God and try to help you tonight. Good to see everybody, and good to see some of the folks that's still here tonight, that's from here the first time I ever came, and still going on with the Lord. I told our folks yesterday, that's the way I want to finish. I've heard so many people since the election on Tuesday of last week talking about they're discouraged and they're depressed and they're down. They feel like throwing their hands up. I told our church yesterday, I said, I don't feel that way. I feel like trading my little 25 automatic in for a 44 and just keep firing. Amen. I have no intention to let up. And I'm just going to keep doing what I've always been doing. And don't you? I believe that's right. Let's all stand tonight. Good to be here. I appreciate Brother Ronnie asking us to come. Appreciate you, Pastor, deeply and dearly. And I mean that. He knows I mean that. We've been friends for a long time. And I appreciate him and the ministry here and the work that God's trying to do. Passage of Scripture I'm going to be preaching from tonight might be a little hard for you to find, so I'll give you some time to find it. Genesis chapter number 1. All right, maybe you can find that pretty easy there. When we begin to read this, you'll think, what in the world has this got to do with revival? I'd probably think so myself if God hadn't dealt with my heart about it. About a week and a half ago, God began to deal with me about this, and I felt like I'd be preaching it on Monday night here. I made short mention of this in a message sometime back at our church, and when I preached along the line, preaching on something else and made mention of this, the Lord really stirred my heart with it, and I had to go back and really take a good look at it, and saw some things that's been so helpful to me. And God knows my heart. I want to be a help to you with it tonight. I left the motel room a while ago. I was praying and looking at this. And I got up and started to tie a tie on. And I said, Lord, the material's here. God, I can't do nothing with it. If God, the Holy Ghost, don't touch it tonight, it won't be worth nothing. But would God touch it and maybe He can help us with it tonight? Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 1. The Bible said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together the waters called He seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven that gives light upon the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, a greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning of the fourth day, be patient with me. Let's just read the Word of God. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that has life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales. And every living, I get blessed just reading this. I don't know about you. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth, in the evening and the morning of the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth on the earth after his kind. And God saw it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree, yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and everything that creepeth on the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. And even in the morning of the sixth day. Let's bow to pray tonight. I know that seems a strange passage of Scripture, but I believe by the time we get done, you'll understand. Father, Lord Jesus, I love you tonight. I thank you, Lord, for loving us. I thank you, dear God, for the cross. Lord, tonight that Miss Willie was playing that song, Jesus, keep me near the cross. Lord, you know how that's my favorite song. I pray, dear God, tonight, thanking you for Calvary. I pray, Lord, you'd help us now. I know, God, that we need the touch of God to preach. These people need the touch of God to listen at preaching tonight. And I pray, God, you'd stir our heart and help us from the Word of the Lord tonight. I empty myself before you and I submit myself to you, recognizing, God, that I'm totally unable, God, to do anything. I pray, Lord, that we'd not stay here tonight and wait on revival to come tomorrow night or Friday night. But I pray, dear God, tonight, the presence of God Almighty, our Father, would move abundantly, God, in this place tonight. Oh, God, revive our hearts tonight. God, stir us deeply. Convict us, our God. Draw us heavenward. Draw us homeward. Draw us, God, toward you tonight, we pray. Oh, God, touch us. Oh, Father, may our minds forget all about the day and all about tomorrow. And God, center and focus tonight on what you want to say there. Weary heart. We love you and honor you and praise you for all you've done. Do what needs to be done tonight. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I know you probably wonder what in the world a preacher's going to do, preach on revival on the first book or the first words in the Word of God. There's hardly a day that goes by I preach a lot of meetings and pastor church and talk to a lot of preachers, missionaries, pastors, evangelists, calling all the time. There's hardly a day goes by that somebody doesn't say this word to me or else that I say this word to them. Hardly a day goes by that this word either comes out my mouth or it comes into my ear.
And this is the statement. We need a move of God. I think everybody tonight would agree with that. We need a move of God. I say that often. Somebody calls and say, "Preacher, how's your church doing?" And I say, "Well, we need a move of God." About every day, a week or so, we'll book another meeting with somebody, and I'll say, "Preacher, how's it going?" And they'll say, "Well, preacher, we just need a move of God. We just need God to move in our midst." And I think we all agree with that tonight. That's what we need, desperately so. I mean, desperately so, we need a move of God. I got to thinking about that recently, and I got to thinking about a move of God. We need a move of God in our heart. We need a move of God in our home, and we need a move of God in the house of God. May I say to you, God does not move. Our country is headed to absolute destruction, and there's no hope for it. The only hope left is that we experience a true move of God. Amen. Let me just say three or four things about what a move of God's not, and then I want to look at this text. Some things a move of God's not. Let me say, number one, a move of God's not emotionalism. It's not just what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about something that'll make people cry a few tears and wallow around a few tears and get up and go back to the house and act the same as he acted yesterday. That's not necessarily a move of God. Now, it might make you weep. It might stir you emotionally. What I'm talking about, we need something bigger than that. I'm not talking about a move of God of excitement where everybody gets excited. Amen. Just stay with me a minute. I promise you this is going somewhere. That's a time of excitement. I don't mean to be ugly here. I don't mean to be mean, but I ain't got nothing for this modern day comedy in the pulpit. And this cutting up and laughing and all this hoorah. I'm telling you, friend, if we saw how near the end of the road we are, how close we are to the judgment of God, how close we are to leaving this thing, there would be no excitement in the flesh. We'd want a real stirring of the Holy Ghost down in our heart. It's not excitement. May I say it's not entertainment? I don't want to be entertained. I don't want to be played with. I don't want to be parted. I want a stirring from the Holy Ghost to God. Then may I say it's not ecumenicalism. It's not everybody just getting together, all denominations and all beliefs, and you believe what you want to believe, and I believe what we want to believe. We'll come together, and I'll do my thing, and you do your thing. We all say we had a move of God. I'm telling you, friend, there are some perimeters in the Bible that establishes what a move of God really is. May I say in Genesis chapter number 1, there's a move of God. You say, "How you know that?" Look at verse number 2. The last statement I said there, "And the Spirit of God moved." This is a move of God. You say, "Preacher, I don't have to think so." The Bible says that this is a move of God. Now, I want to just try to dig here. We'll not shout. Fact is, we might get a little stingy here a little bit before we get done, but if God would help us tonight maybe to see that. I want to note three things from this passage of Scripture that happens when you actually have a move of God. Let me just slow down a minute and try to step back a second and say that I'm hearing a lot of things across the country that people are equating to be a move of God, and they're equating it to be God doing something, but it does not have the touch of God based on the Word of God about it. A move of God, you can find it in your Bible, and if it's not biblical, it's not God, it's the flesh and the spirit of man instead of the Spirit of God. Well, let's just look at this a minute tonight and see if the Lord will help us. Let's say, number one, if you have a move of God, it's going to, number one, it's going to command light to shine out of darkness. It's going to command light to shine out of darkness. Listen to me tonight. A real move of God will cause light to come in a dark place. Amen. Let's notice, first of all, if this light that was commanded to shine out of darkness, let's talk about the cause of this light shining. Let's say, number one, look here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth sat form and void, darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The first thing, may I say, that caused this light to shine is the sovereign will of God. Help me here, Lord, tonight. I'm just going to preach a little bit here. May I say, there was nobody in this scene that was desiring a move of God. Ain't nobody around. Amen. I'm telling you, it's just God the Father, it's God the Son, and it's God the Holy Ghost. But listen to this. If God had not chosen in His sovereign grace to move, this thing would have forever remained in darkness. Amen. May I say to you tonight, a real move of God is the sovereign will of God. God has to initiate that thing. It has to be the mind of God, the will of God, in the heart of God for that to be so. Let me say this. God could have, I'm going somewhere with all this, God could have abandoned this mess. God could have left this mess. Oh, aren't you glad that God didn't choose to? Aren't you glad that God didn't choose to? Listen to me tonight. I bet I have a hope in my heart that God does not desire to abandon what He's created. Amen. God wants to keep what He's created stirred. Amen. Amen. God wants to move upon what He's made. Oh, thank God tonight. May I just say this. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you can be confident that He who hath begun a good work in you will continue that work or perform that work unto the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad He ain't going to abandon what He started. He's going to move upon it many times in our Christian life. Well, I've got so far to go. If I get plugged in too much here, I won't get over it. Listen to me tonight. I have every reason to believe that I will yet be in the best meeting that I've ever been in. Did you hear that? You can be a killjoy. You can be a doubter if you want to. But I'm telling you, friend, if I've done been the best meeting I'm ever going to be in, then God's took us as high as He can go, and He can't take us no further. But may I say to you tonight, God's not done yet. Amen. There's still going to be a move of God. Thank God. It's the sovereign will of God. It really ain't got nothing to do with me and you. We'll say more about that maybe in a minute. Ultimately, it's not got anything to do with me. And ultimately, it ain't got anything to do with you. Ultimately, it rests in the mind, in the hands of the Holy God. Amen. Help me here now. Let me say number one about this sovereign move of God. What God saw before He moved, there was nothing dependable. The Bible said it was without form. There was nothing desirable. The Bible said it was void, and there was nothing delightful. The Bible said it was full of darkness. God looked at a mess like this, and He said, there ain't nothing desirable about it. There ain't nothing dependable about it. There ain't nothing delightful about it. There ain't nothing good about it. Ain't nothing He can do to help itself. It can't do anything to change itself. It can't do anything to get itself helped. But thank God, if I move upon it, I can do something with it. You know what we need to mind. We need to just abandon our flesh and cry out to a holy God that we're not dependable, we're not desirable, we're not delightful, and just cry out to God that we're helpless and hopeless and feeble without form and void, and darkness is upon the face of our churches. Help me, dear Lord, tonight. Are you listening to what I'm trying to tell you this evening? Most places I'm going into is about described in this verse. Without form. Void. Help me, Lord. Darkness upon the deep. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, the sovereign will of God caused light to shine. But listen to this a minute. The spoken word of God caused light to shine. God said, let there be light. I tell you, you know how to bring light out of your darkness again? It's the word of God. I have nothing for people who say there's a move of God going on and it's not directly connected to the word of God. Everything God's ever done, He's done through His Word. He created the world through His Word. Ain't that right? According to 1 Peter 1:23, James 1:18, James 1:21, He converts through the Word of God. He created the world through the Word of God. He converts through the Word of God. Romans 15:4, He comforts through the Word of God. Ephesians 5:25-27, He cleanses through the Word of God. He corrects through the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:15-17, everything God has ever done, He does through the Word of God. Amen. Help me tonight, Lord. Help me now. I've been trying to stir around this a little bit. And you, would you get with me here and help me preach a little bit? I'm telling you, we need some light on this thing. I never seen such a dark generation. I've never seen such darkness in our churches. People can't see past their nose spiritually. They're dark and they can't see. Let me say to you tonight, it ain't going to come to a singing convention. It ain't going to come to a social. It ain't going to come to a supper. It ain't going to come to a skit and a program. I'm telling you, it's going to come through the Word of God. Help me, Lord, tonight. Amen. Amen, friend. I'm telling you this. Listen to this now. God's Word is executive in its power. Get a hold of this. God's Word is executive in its power. What do you mean by that? Well, if you look down through here, God said in verse number 3, God said, let there be light. And notice those next words. And what? And there was light. Look at verse 7. God said something, and look at the last verses, and it says, and it was so. Look at the last words of verse 9. And it was so. Look at the last verse of verse 11. And it was so. Look at verse 15, last words. And it was so. Look at verse 24. The Bible said the last words, and it was so. Verse 30. And it was so. What am I saying? I'm saying God's Word has the power when spoken in the power of the Holy Ghost of God. God's Word has power to bring forth what God intends to do. Oh man. Help me, Lord. I don't want to get by sidetracked here. I tell you, that's the reason the devil has took preaching out of the pulpit and we went to everything in the world. I tell you, God's Word has power. It's executed in its power. In other words, God, what God says and what God commands, and it's going to be done the way God says it does. The Word of God's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the divine, the son of soul, the spirit, and joy, and the marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. If we'd get back to the Word of God. Oh, Lord God, help me tonight. Jesus, please help me here now. I'm telling you, I'm preaching across this country in churches. They're so spoiled on singings and suppers. Amen. They're so spoiled on that. You preach over 30 minutes, they'll fall out on the floor dead. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, there's going to be no light returned until the Word of God, Psalm 119, verse number 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Amen. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm glad tonight. Thank God for the Word of God that brings light into a dark world. You know the kind of move of God we need? We need a move of God that will speak the Word of God and bring light down inside of us and let us see who we are and what we are. Amen. Well, let me say, not only is God's Word executive in its power, it's effective in its purpose. It does what God said. Isaiah 55 said, my word shall be go forth from my mouth. It accomplish what I purpose it to do, what I intend for it to do. It will not return void. Help me, Lord, tonight. Help me, Jesus, tonight. You know what we need in this world? We need old-fashioned Holy Ghost preaching. We need the Word of God. Amen. I could get out of the way here easily. I don't want to. I could easily get in the, some maybe sound mean here. We need to get back to studying the Bible and get rid of a lot of old Sunday school courtly stuff and get back in the Word of God. Amen. That Word's got power. I'm telling you, friend, this quote in that book is more powerful than anything you can say about it, anything you can do about it. I'm glad, thank God, the Word. Listen, it ain't what I believe about the Word that's powerful. It's what the Word says that's powerful. The Word, listen, if we're going to have a move of God that's going to bring light, we're going to have it through the Word of God. He said, Paul said, when I came to you preaching 1 Thessalonians 2:13, He said, you received it as it was, the word of truth, not as it was the word of man, but as it is the word of truth that worketh effectually in you that believe. Listen to me tonight. If you're saved, the old-fashioned preaching of the word of God will work in you. Amen. We're living in a generation that ain't working in because he ain't saved. Are you listening? That book will stir you up. Amen to God. It'll stir you up. I've been to church when I was about 3/4 back. I was cold and down and aggravated and all the rest of that. But thank God when the man of God got plugged in that old book, it worked effectually in me. It'll do something in you. Well, the cause of this light shining. Let me talk to you just a minute about the consequences of this light shining. What did it do? What did the light do? It expelled the darkness. Now, would you listen to me? There's such a thing about light that darkness has to flee. Light makes darkness be expelled. But darkness cannot extinguish light. You say, well, it's dark and God can't move. You won't pull that from the Bible. God, the darkest it got's when God moved. Amen. When it was so dark that man couldn't see nothing, God said, let there be light. Amen. I'm glad tonight. I don't care how dark it gets. When the Word of God's spoken, when the Spirit of God moves, light comes in. Amen. Oh, my soul tonight. You know what we need? We need such a move of God that will expel the darkness in our day. That's what he talked about there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. When he talked about if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that's lost, in whom the God of this world blinded the minds of them that believe not. He said, lest at any time the light of the glorious gospel, Jesus Christ, the image of God, should shine unto them. He went on the next verse and he said this. He said, for God that commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. You know what he's talking about? The same thing that God did to the creation is what he does to a lost man. Amen. He walks in one day, that sinner sitting on the bench dead in trespasses and sin. He can't see. He can't hear. He's in darkness and he don't know nothing. He's undesirable. He's undependable. And he's undelightful. And ain't a thing he can do. But one day, thank God, God takes the Word of God and commands light to shine in his heart and shows him he's lost and convicts him of his sin and draws him to the Savior and he gets saved. Now, there's 100 verses I could give you here of what I'm trying to think about, but what I'm trying to say is this. We need a move of God that will command light to shine in our darkness. You know the reason people sit on the bench, church bench, week in, week out, week in, week out, living in their sin, practicing their immorality, doing a little bit of snipping on their sin on the outside of the church and think it's all hid? We ain't having a move of God. Move of God to turn the light on you. Isaiah saw that move of God in Isaiah chapter number 6. He saw and heard God, saw the Lord, and saw the glory of the Lord. He didn't go away hollering, boy, I wish everybody would get right, God. When a move of God come that shined light inside of him, you know what he did? He went away saying, oh, is I. You know what kind of move you need? Now, this, here's what we want most time in revival. We want a move of God that gets everybody else stirred up. We want a move of God that show our sinners, our families, that's lost and backslid, that shows God to them. But we need a move of God in here that lets us see ourselves. Where God turns a light on me and God turns a light on you. A light. God's such a move that God says, come on, light. And all of a sudden you wake up and you see the mess you're in. Hey, amen. Am I making any sense to you? didn't even know the shape it was in. Till the light come on. I believe we're sitting in churches, average person don't even know the shape they're in. Amen. I'm trying to help you tonight. Amen. I don't believe they even know the shape they're in. I was in a church 2 years back, preached 2 or 3 nights, the whole crowd got mad at me. I'm telling you the truth. Women come to me and said, "Preacher, what's the matter with you? We're all right." I said, "Ma'am, I'm not trying to be ugly. If you knew how bad you was, if you knew the shape that you got yourself in this church, it'd tear you up. If we could see how dead we are, how dark we are, how depraved we are, how wicked we are, how fleshly we are, how carnal we are, how deceived we are, how darkness we are, and the only way it's going to happen if God comes in and turns the light on. God's got to do it. It's a sovereign move of God coming by the spoken word of God that causes the darkness to be expelled. The second thing, when that light comes on, the consequences of it, not only is expelled, darkness is expelled, but dirt is exposed. When the light comes on. How many of you ladies, let's be honest now, company ever come to your house when you'd been gone a day or two and things wasn't just right there, Sister Jonathan, and you know, and the house wasn't as clean as it ought to be, and y'all been there, don't look at me like that, every one of us has. Amen. And you want the lamps on. You don't want the big lights on. You know why? The brighter the light, the more chances you are of seeing the dirt. That's the reason we want the lights turned down at the church spiritually. We don't want too much preaching. Too much spiritual movement. It keeps the lights turned down and we can all come in and live in a dingy gray area and go back out the building thinking we're all okay. I'm okay and you're okay and we're all right and everything's pretty good. But when the light comes on, you can see the spider web up yonder. You can see that dust. And you know, you think the wind is clean. I mean, you've all done it. Come on, we're just being honest. We all live in our home. It ain't for display. We live in it. You think that windowsill's clean till the sunlight comes through it. And the minute the sunlight comes through it, that dust shows up. You know what kind of move we need, Brother Robbie, in our church? And you know what kind of move we need? Are y'all listening to me tonight? We need a move of God that'll so bring the light in, that'll shine inside of us, and we see ourselves. Listen to me. We'll not have revival this week until we see ourselves. We've got to get a vision of who we are and the shape we're in. Are you listening? It expels the darkness. When Peter saw the glory of God, he said, "Depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." Let me ask you something. When's the last time light ever come in on you? When's the last time you come in on Sunday morning and it was more than just Sunday morning church 101? Y'all listen to me. When it was more than just Sunday morning routine. Where the light sprung in. Well, I tell you, you ever get in conviction, just right, you want the light. That Philippian jailer there that night, Paul and Silas in the jail, he come forth and he said, "I've got to have the light. I've got to have, hey friend, oh my God, that's you all we need. We need a move of God that'll shine the light on us." Are you just in your routine? I'm not here to be ugly with you tonight. I'm here because God told me to preach this. I'm telling you tonight, a week and a half ago, God started me studying on this. I ain't even got it topped out. I sat in the motel room a while ago and finished writing it out. A real move of God will bring light on like it commands light. The Spirit of God moved, and the first thing that happened, God said, let there be light. You know, reason I know this Brownsville revival and all that mess ain't a God. People still going away dressed like harlots, living in sin, shacking up, doing the liquor on the side. Amen, friend. I'm telling you, a real move of God shines a light of God on you, and you feel like you're about the lowest wretch that's ever been born. Amen to God. Help me, Lord. Light's an amazing thing. You know scientists with all their knowledge cannot still tell you what light is. Do you know that? Brother Ronnie, they can't. They still don't know what light is. They can tell you what it is. It's E equal MC2. You know, energy times mass times energy squared or something like that. E equal MC2. They kind of know what it is. But they can't figure out light. I've got to hurry on. I'm going to get through this message now. They can't figure that. They say we don't understand where it comes from. We don't know what it does. Light's an amazing thing. You stand, Brother Ronnie Jones, back there at that door. And I'm standing up here. And it's 100 feet. And I'm moving 1 foot a second. How long is it going to take me to get back there? 100 seconds. I'm losing you now. It's going to take me 100 seconds to get back there. Right? If I'm moving 1 foot a second, it's 100 feet. It's going to take me 100 seconds to get back there. If Ronnie starts toward me at 1 foot a second, how long is it going to take us to meet? 50 seconds. In other words, every time I'm moving toward him, he's moving toward me. It's shutting the distance down. Light don't travel that way. Light travels 186,000 million miles a minute, a second. And it don't move that way. If Ronnie's going from me at a distance of a foot a second, I'll never catch him. The light don't do that. Light moves the same, it takes the same amount of time for light to reach that wall if that wall's moving at 100 miles an hour that direction. It'll take it the same time to touch it if it's moving it this way at 100 miles a second. That don't make a lick of sense. But that's the way it is anyway. I tell you what light is. Light is a supernatural element that comes from God. Amen, friend. You can't turn it on, and when it's on, you can't turn it off. Amen. I'm telling you tonight what we need, or what we need this week, is light to spring up. Let me just give you this verse of Scripture. I'll give it to you in a minute. Look back at your text a minute. Look back at your text. The first thing that happens when there's a move of God, according to this text anyway, is that it commands light to shine out of darkness. The second thing that happens when there's a move of God, it causes life to spring out of deadness. Do you hear me? It causes life to spring out of deadness. Light had to precede life. We're wanting life in our churches without light. Amen. Amen. Help me, Lord. I don't know whether it's helping you or not. I'm telling you it's helping me. God's helped me with this study in the last little while. It causes life to spring out of deadness. Notice the process. First, there's a growing process begins. Look at verse number 20. God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has what? Life. Look at verse 21. God created great whales in every living creature. Every what creature? Living creature. Look at verse 24. Bible said, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature. Look at verse number 30. Bible said, and every beast of the earth, he said, in which there was life. The light. Listen at me. Help me take my time, Lord. Help me preach it right, God. There was a command for light to spring out of darkness. And that life that sprung out of darkness created life to spring out of deadness. Don't we need some life in our church? There'll not be any growing process All of a sudden, when the life came, the grass began to grow. There'll be no growth where there's no life. And there'll be no life where there's no light. Help me, Lord. We want growth and we want life, but we do not want the product that creates the life, that creates the growth. I'm telling you, folks, this is what the Lord put on my heart tonight. A genuine move of God will cause life to spring out of deadness. When's the last time any life? Well, help me, Lord. I'm kind of preaching y'all the way I'd preach to my own church. When's the last time the life so stirred you inside that it caused growth inside? It created life. Last time you felt the life of God stir inside of you. I've got folks that's backslid and they don't even know it. I preach to them every Sunday and they're sitting there dead in a hammer. Come in, go out, and 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 come in, go out. Dead in a hammer. Oh, they ain't bad people. They probably, most of them, if any of them, I don't know any of them's out of committing adultery. I don't know any of them's out in sin. But they're just dead. No life. Song don't move them. Sermon don't move them. Bible reading don't move them. Scripture don't move them. Lost souls don't move them. Missionary don't move them. Evangelist don't move them. Pastor can't move them. They're just sitting there like the old dead earth was. They went to the altar in 20 years. They ain't stood up and said, I just got to tell something here. God's been good to me. They ain't had a testimony in years. No life of God's. You remember, oh, listen, help me, Lord Jesus, please help me. You remember when you first got saved, how that life of God just pulsated down inside of you. I'm not talking about church, I'm talking about the life of God. You'd been brought to life. You was dead and you'd come out of darkness and you now in the light and you're the child of the light. You're a child of the day, not a child of darkness. Life is pulsating in you. But somewhere for some reason you settled down. We just went through a revival 2 weeks ago at the church. It went into the second week. Our young people yesterday were standing up testifying. All of our old people just standing there. I said, you older people, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Letting these younger people stand up and tell them about how they love God and you standing there. Don't look at me like that. Dead. 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 We want growth, but it won't happen with deadness. Folk ain't want to come to the church where everybody sleeps. They won't come to the church where nobody gets excited, nobody gets stirred up, where there's no life moving on the inside. That the life of Christ, oh my, that the life of Christ might stir up our insides again. Life. It created growth. The growing process started. Look at this verse in Matthew 4. I started quoting while I want you to read it. Matthew 4. Help me, Lord. Matthew 4. Look at this verse of Scripture, how these things tie together. When Jesus came, you know what kind of day it was? Look in Matthew 4. Look at verse 15. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. You know how the Lord began to move in the generation when He came? Light! Lord, I feel like I'm pounding against the wall. Light came! Light sprang up! The light brought life! Life moved deadness and darkness. And the first thing that happened when He said, I've spoke you into light, and He began to preach, repent. Well, it was a growing process that began when life sprang out of deadness. A growing process began. But if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, not only did a growing process begin, a sowing process began. There was an abundant seeding. Listen to this now. The seed, Brother Robbie. Is it Robbie or Bobby? Robbie. The seed was there all the time. If you're saved tonight, the seed's already there. All you need is light to shine on it. Darkness to move out. Amen. And then when that deadness and darkness moves out, light will come in. And that growing process starts. And then the growing process leads to a seeding process. From the growth leads to the multiplication of seed that there might be further growth. In other words, there'll be no reproduction. The pastor don't produce. There'll be no reproduction. The seed was there. God put the seed in itself. And when the growing started, the seed started multiplying, and the growth continued to the point there was reproduction. There'll be no reproduction of ourselves till there's a growing. That growing is caused by life coming out of deadness. And the life coming out of deadness is caused by light dispelling darkness. I don't know about you, but I'm helping me anyhow. We're sitting on our church at dead and a hammer wondering why we ain't producing nothing. Nobody's getting saved. I'm not trying to blame y'all no more than I'm blaming our church for people not getting saved in our community. But I think sometimes we ought to just sit back a minute and take a good look at ourselves and ask us if we've got the life of God so living in us that we're growing to the point that it's spreading in us and the seed's being sown from us that others might grow from the seed that came from our life. You can't reap nothing if you don't sow nothing. And then notice all is there's a growing process from this darkness that's gone. And there's a sowing process, but then there's a reaping process. Look down in verse 29 and 30. I'll come to the last truth real quickly in just a moment. All of a sudden God said now, verse 29 and 30, I'll let you eat from what you've sown. And from the growing process you now eat. In other words, God said, I let there be enough in the work of God to sustain you, and you can actually eat and feast from the fruit of your labor. Are you eating from the work that's going on here?
Good for you.
Are you eating? Are you eating? Are you feasting from the work that's going on here? Now, if you're not, don't blame the preacher. It might be that there's no life going on. And there's no life going on because you're like John chapter 3, you will not come to the light.
Yeah, come on.
Your deeds may be manifest and be reproved of God. Well, a move of God in Genesis 1, look at it, I'm coming to a close. A move of God, number 1, commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Number 2, it caused life to spring out of deadness. Can you see that? Number 3, and I'm done. There's a third thing that a move of God done in this chapter. It created, listen to this now, it created laws that settled the disorder. It created laws that settled the disorder. Look at this. There were divisive lines were drawn. Look at verse 4. In the middle of that, he said, and God did what? Divided the light from the darkness. Verse 6. He said, let the waters divide from the waters. Verse 7, let there be a division in the waters and the firmia. Verse 8, there was a division. He divided the light from the day. Verse 18, he divided the night and the day and the stars, the moon, the sun. In other words, God's saying, listen to this now. When light springs out of darkness and life springs out of deadness, law will settle disorder. God said there's going to be some boundaries drawn and separation's going to come into play. God said, I'm going to fix it to where there's some places you can't go, water, but you can live on land. In the first chapter of the book of Genesis, in the first chapter of the Bible, God reveals to you that He is a separatist.
Amen.
See, there'll be no separation. No laws that create a settlement in our division and divide us. There'll be disorder will reign till all comes. Law won't come till life comes. And life won't come till light comes. May I say it again? God will establish some boundaries. He established the boundaries between land and water, between earth and heaven, between day and night, between light and darkness. God said, I want you to understand that when I move, I will eventually lead you to a path of separation.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. That's the truth.
See, we're saying God's moving in places in this day, but it's not leading to separation. I'm not being ugly tonight, but if God moves, He'll draw some lines and some boundaries. Acts 17:26 said He set all men the bounds to where no man can pass. God set bounds into creation. He said, you can come this far, but no further. He said, you can live in this land, but you can't in the water. You can live on this earth, but you're not supposed to live in the heavens. God said, I'm trying to tell you that when I move, I set some limits. I set some bounds. I decide some things you can do and some things you can't do. I decide some places you can go and some places you can't go. I decide how you can walk and talk and dress. I set some boundaries. I set some limits when I move. If your moving of God, supposedly, is not drawing any boundaries in your life, it's not God that's moving.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Every time I've ever had a move of God in my life, God's drawn another line. God's drawn another line.
I've been praying about some things. I won't go into the details with you. Very serious things. I come in prayer meeting last Wednesday night, not this past Wednesday night, and Wednesday night a week ago. Yeah, I guess it was this past Wednesday night. We don't Monday here. I'm all messed up. Been this past Wednesday night. I came in, I was praying. Oh, God, give me in a definite way, the most definite way I've ever had it, Brother Ronnie. You can quote it, everybody in here can quote it probably. Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be ye not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. I've been praying about the will of God about something in my life. God said, what you going to have to do? You're going to have to get your body in front of me. Present your body. And then God said, when you get it in there, you're going to have to get it in there holy. Holy. And acceptable to me, not what you want. You're going to have to get it acceptable to me. For you'll find the will of God. You've got to get out of the world. You've got to get separated. You've got to get yourself in the presence of God. You've got to get yourself holy, acceptable to the Lord, not to yourself. Has a move of God. Listen, I can tell you where you've had a move of God in the last 6 months, year. Has God drawn any boundaries in your life?
Yes, sir. That's wonderful.
Boy, it's quiet, ain't it? God said, I'll tell you, with these boundaries, I'll tell you where you can live and what you can love. I would say it again, God is a separatist. We don't like that. We don't like it. But I'll tell you one thing, when God moves, friend, it ain't always I like it when God moves and I'm up on my feet, hallelujah, crying and shouting and blessing God, hallelujah, thank you, God, you're good to me. I like them times, but buddy, I like it when God comes down. God scoots right close to me, son. God starts drawing some boundaries in my life. You gotta shut this TV program off. You can't go there.
Amen.
You can't dress like that.
Amen.
You can't talk like that.
Amen.
You can't read that.
Amen.
That's a move of God.
Amen.
That's a biblical move of God.
Amen.
That's God's way of moving. Oh, my tonight. Son, you know what you boys need? That's the kind of move of God you need.
Amen.
Oh, my. I'm afraid what we're calling the move of God ain't nothing but an emotional stir of the flesh. Let me tell you something. Everywhere in the Bible, I heard an evangelist some time back say this. He said, every time God moved, people shouted. I looked at my wife and said, there ain't a word of truth in that. Son John saw him and he fell at his feet as a dead man. I'm not talking about Jesus Christ Superstar. I'm talking about the Holy Lord God Jehovah of the Bible. The Almighty God. I'm talking about Him who said, be ye holy, for I am holy. I'm talking about God that'll draw some lines in your life. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I'm telling you, there were some divisive lines that were drawn on the earth when God established some laws that settled the disorder. Listen to this. This formless, dark, feeble, void mess became solidified and it became formful. That which was formless became formed. That which was void and empty had life in it. That which was dark now has light in it. Listen to this. Disorder is now led to order. Do you know what will bring disorder out of order, bring order out of disorder? Separation. That statement is so big, the Holy Ghost give it to me coming through out of the driveway just a minute ago over to here. It's so big you'll miss it. We'll never be in order in our churches. And the disorder that's reigning in our churches. You know how God brought order to His creation? By separation.
That was all, I don't know how it was. It's the hardest thing for me to get in my mind how it was when it's just floating and formless and void and just like, it's like all kinds of particles. Excuse me here a minute, but it's like all kinds of particles was just in the air floating everywhere and there's no form and nothing. That's the kind of way we look like in our churches. We just come in, we float around, and one's over here, and one's over there, and one's over here, and something's over there, and there's no order, and it's chaos, and it's confusion, and it's darkness and disorder. We just one there, and one here, and you know how God did? Separation. Separation solidified it. God used separation to bring one part over here, and one part over here, and brought land to land and water to water, and disorder stopped when we got separation right. If we get back to old-fashioned Holy Ghost separation, it'll stop the disorder that's ruling in our churches. Well, Lord, help me, Jesus. Oh, my. Oh, my Lord. You ever feel like that preacher, just to be honest, like it's disorder? I come to church some Sunday mornings, and I'm not being mean here, but I'm trying to help y'all. Listen, I'm trying my best to help you. You ever come together and it's just disorder. Just everything, confusion and chaos. But when John gets his separation right, and Joe gets his, and Susie gets hers, and the deacon boards get theirs, and everybody gets separated, then all the particles that's supposed to be separated into their self, they all come together into a unit. Separation does not separate. Separation pulls you together. Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. Separation doesn't pull you apart. It pulls things that's not got your nature apart from you, that you can be separated to the correct nature of God. It caused laws to settle the disorder. There were divisive lines that were drawn on the earth. And then may I say this and I'm done. Not only these laws that settled the disorder, divisive lines were drawn on the earth, but listen to this. Directed lights were displayed in the heavens. God set sun, moon, and stars. And He said, I set these out here to make you understand there is authoritative principles of rulership that are established when I move. Sun ruled by the day, the Savior. The moon, which is a picture of the church and Israel, they'll rule. And the little bitty stars, everything subject to the sun. God said, I'll set authoritative degrees and rulership. He said, the moon is the rule of the night, the sun's the rule of the day. In other words, God said, when I move, I establish perimeters, and within those perimeters and boundaries, I set rulership and authoritative degrees of things that are rule over your life. If God moves, you won't buck the preacher.
No way. Right. Come on.
He establishes rulership boundaries. Submit yourselves to them that have the rule over you. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. If God moves, He establishes those boundaries. Then those boundaries, He sets lights to rule you by the day and to rule you by the night. Don't tell me God moved where God ain't ruling. These lights were to regulate the earth, seasons and signs. They were to rule the earth. They were to radiate the earth. The earth walked in the light of heaven. In other words, it eventually establishes your walk upon the earth. And then it refreshed the earth. Now listen to this. Recently a preacher said to me when this came to my heart. He called and said, "Preacher, would you come preach a meeting for me?" I said, "Yeah, preacher, I'd be glad to, I'd be honored to." I said, "How's things going, brother?" And he said, "I've heard it I won't say a thousand times. I don't know how many times, but hundreds, literally. You've said it to me. I've probably said it to you without doubt. Just need a move of God." And he said to me, and his voice cracked when he said it, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "we just need a move of God. We just need God to move." Now I got thinking about that. And there are many instances of the Spirit of God moving in the Bible. Just this and I'm done. But the Bible don't say the Spirit of God moved twice. It only says Spirit of God moved twice in the entire Bible. And the closest again, it says three times. It says in 2 Timothy 1:21, the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's one time. Genesis 1:1 is the first one there. Or Spirit 1:2, Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Spirit moved there. The third time the Bible says the Spirit of God moved per se is on Samson. Well, let me ask you this and I'm done. What does Mineral Park Baptist Church need worse than anything else? Do you need more members?
No, sir.
We want more members. We want more involvement. We want reproduction. We want rulership. We want disorder moved and order established. We want all that chaotic mess to stop and everybody come together. But it all starts with God saying, "Let there be light." And I'm afraid that's what we're doing. We don't want that light. Let me close like this. Whoever's going to play, Miss Willie, if you're going to play, whoever's going to play. Look at me just a minute. Let me close like this. If you're sleeping, and you're sound asleep, what's the worst thing in the world you want somebody to do? Huh? Make you mad, buddy. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to disagree with me to start with, but you try and see if it ain't right. You try it. A dim light will make you mad. The brighter that light is, the better you'll wake up. You try it. I know what I'm talking about. I've tried it. You get up the night time. I guess we've all got, you go to the bathroom, you turn the little light on. That little dim light, you sit there and your eyes hurt and you get, you don't really hate it. But if you turn that big bright light on up over the mirror, you'll wake up. What we're trying to do in this country is turn the lights down. And we ain't doing nothing but angering ourselves. We need the man of God. You ought to pray. The man of God come in this place. Son, I've got one of them airport lights, one of them 500,000 candle pair. I've got one 1,000,000 candle pair. I can see a deer way over yonder. We need to pray the man of God come in here not with a candle light. He come in here and turn that light on. What you need tonight to solve every problem you got is a move of God. Have you been praying for a move of God this week? Whatever it takes. I was in a meeting 3 weeks ago. I guess it was a month ago. I'm done. A month ago, I guess it was. I didn't even want to go there. It's so dark, so dead, wearing paints, church wearing paints. They give up the dress code and everything else. I didn't even want to go. I honestly prayed about it. I said, "God, I don't even want to go. The Lord laid in my heart, you got to go. I want you to go. I want you there."
I went first night. It's strange. First night, God broke that thing. The first night, God broke in on that thing. Tuesday night, song leader's wife got saved. Went four nights. Then the fourth night, nine had got saved. Light sprung in that place. God just chose somehow to turn the lights on. Oh, that God would walk in this place this week. Turn the light on. I'm tired of walking in darkness. I'm tired of walking in deadness. I'm tired of walking in disorder. We need light and life and law. And each one is dependent on the other. Back up to God said. Are you willing to do what God says? I'm standing by to pray. Just before you bow to pray, look at me just a moment, would you? I've ever since I've been saved, started preaching. It's been my hunger, been my thirst, the consuming passion of my soul to see God wake our churches up. See a move of God. An old-fashioned stirring of the Holy Ghost. That meeting, what I started to tell you a while ago, that I didn't even want to go into. By Thursday night, we was going 10:30, 11 o'clock. God working in people. People apologizing and getting right with each other. God had turned the light on. They began to see themselves. That song leader's wife that got saved, she said, I've been troubled a long time. And I didn't know what was the matter with me. She said, it wasn't until the night that God just let me see myself. She said, I'd never seen myself lost. She said, but somehow God let me see myself tonight. Oh, that God let us see yourself. Can I say this in a number way? If you see yourself, you will not go out that door thinking the sun rises and sets in you. You'll go out that door saying what Paul said in Romans 7. Oh, wretched man that I am. You go out there crying like Isaiah. Woe, it's me. I'm undone. You'll cry like Simon Peter. Lord, depart from me. I'm an evil man. You see yourself. Let's bow to pray. You want to move of God? Move of God. Every home, every heart in the house of God needs a move of God.